'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Woo! Nothing's ever going to keep you down.
Never.
Do you need more underwear, Johnny?
Not today.
Kyle, if you need clean undershirts, you should just tell me. I go to Century 21 every week.
Oh, my God.
I'm back. All right, Cap Figure Podcast, episode 24. If last one was the Jordan, then this is the Kano episode, right?
Yeah.
Kano is...
Miggy.
Fuck. Screw Miggy. Kano... Cano's better be a Hall of Famer. But you know what's crazy? Yo, when you look at Hall of Famer's numbers and then you look at, like, Cano still isn't a Hall of Famer. He is, but that's how good you have to be in baseball. And that's awesome. It's not like the Basketball Hall of Fame who puts in anybody or the Football Hall of Fame who puts in, Michael Irvin with 750 career receptions.
He's a sellout to me.
What is that?
I don't know.
Oh, wow. It's all good. Originals are welcome on the Cap Figure Podcast.
Kano to me is a sellout.
Oh, he's a sellout to me. Oh, I didn't know who you were talking about. Yes, that was, you know, Mike, this was a typical sports radio call after Kano went to the Mariners. Well, before he went, it was, Mike, we can't sign this guy for too many years. I'm totally fine with giving him a lot of money, but we only got to give him like 5 years at most. And then Mike would be like, I agree. Everyone was so scorned from the A-Rod trade. They still are. And then after, they're like, I'm so sick of this guy. Good riddance. He doesn't run out grounders. He doesn't play hard defense. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever, I mean.
Forget him.
We don't need him. We need guys with grit and heart, like Dustin Pedroia and Jacoby Ellsbury.
I mean, isn't he Latino? Shouldn't he want to play in New York? Come on. What's he going to get in Seattle?
Yo, he was pretty depressed. There were reports he was pretty miserable when he first went to Seattle. Like,
yeah, that's what I was getting at.
There's no Washington Heights. But I guess when you have $8 billion, you could just ship out half of the island of Dominica and make a crew there. Plus, Seattle's a nice city. So anyway, it's Cap Figure Podcast, episode 24. Last episode, we talked about just the Chris Sale and Adam Eaton deals and the Red Sox, the White Sox, and the Nationals. Now, this episode, we're going to talk about all the other free agency update and update where we're at, you know, who's signed, who's traded, and then what this means for whoever's left or whatever. So before we start, you got any warnings or anything you want to tell the people?
About baseball and
buckle
general.
Your belt. That's what I
buckle
would say.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Buckle your regular belt, you fatty. Your pants are falling. You look like a thug, like one of these young thug kids. All right, like a hoodlum. So,
next thing you know, you're going to have a music note on the side of your head.
Yeah, next thing you know, you'll have Aroldis Chapman ear tattoos. So I guess since I mentioned him, we'll start with Chapman. He signed with the Yankees.
Shocker.
How much did he get? I don't even
know. 5 years, $86 million.
Yo, that's
crazy. Opt out after year three.
For him?
Yep.
Well, so the crowdsourcing thing, I think, said like $190 million. We both said under, so we were right. But I didn't think he was coming to the Yankees, did you?
Well.
That's crazy. And how are you feeling as a fan also?
Yeah, I had this innate suspicion that he was going to end up back with the Yankees as the process kind of moved along. Because Brian Chapman just has like always had this like infatuation with him. Even
Brian
when,
Cashman,
yeah. I mean, even when he was coming over from Cuba, like the Yankees were like fawning over him.
Oh, really? I don't even remember. Like,
but
and he said they were talking to all three of the closers. Like, he was playing the game in the media.
I mean, he's the best selection out of those three, right? And if you're playing by like. You know, the Yankees are still the biggest market team. They now have all of this money to spend. I mean, Chapman was the best of those three to fit in because he's the lefty. And, you know, Jansen has a very similar sort of skill set to Dellin Betances. So, I mean, I think Chapman was the most likely of those three.
And the best for Yankee Stadium, too, like you said. Like,
I mean,
left-handed and a strikeout guy.
And if you look at his... I mean, he just has an appeal as well. I mean, I know that we're here trying to talk about the analytics and baseball, but if you look at just from a fan appeal, I mean, when I went to the Yankees games last year at the beginning of the season, fan like sentiment was at literally an all-time low. This is before they traded all those pieces, and people were literally staying to the end of the game for the chance to watch Chapman. And once Chapman came in, everyone that was in the stadium was standing up. I mean, I've watched and been to probably 100 to 1,000 baseball games. I've been to at least 100. I've watched over 1,000. And, I mean, this guy is just insane. I mean, it's crazy.
No, it's something there's something so basic that even the most bougie, non-hardcore baseball fan would love. The range between them and a little kid who knows nothing, just like the peak of human speed. Like, yeah, exactly. It's just like, who can throw it the hardest, Dad? It's like, oh, well, this guy, he's actually on the Yankees. He might pitch today. Yay! Like, it's the same as the home run. Like, who hits the furthest home runs? It's just like the most basic, like, who has the hardest slap shot or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, just a lesson for anyone listening. If you can teach your kids to throw left-handed and 103 miles an hour, that's probably the best way for them to make $86 million. So if you can just teach them that from
a young age. Should write a book. It's like, how to have your kids be successful. It's like, all right, make them 6'6 lefty. And
I think it's a good move for the Yankees. I mean,
So it's about what we expected money-wise, too, right? Like, we both thought he would get a little bit less than, like, $100 million.
Yeah, and, you know, another pretty interesting point about this that was really shocking to me, but it makes sense. Okay, so it came down to the Nationals, the Marlins, and the Yankees. As the process moved on, the Nationals were out of it. But so apparently the Marlins were comparable on the length and the amount of money in the contract, which would actually make that deal more favorable because there's no state tax
right.
In Florida. Chapman's house is in Miami, so
oh wow,
there's like a couple things there. But also, you know, speaking about opt-outs, he has a opt-out after 3 years with the Yankees, a no-trade clause to West Coast teams. The Marlins had the same thing, but they also had an opt-out after year one and year two.
Wow.
So I think this is kind of like a turning point, so you're going to see a lot of these deals, because for the Marlins, right, they're trying to get all this press, a big-name player.
Right, and then hope he leaves.
Yeah, after 1 year.
No, last year when the Mets did that with Yoenis, that was the first time that I've been aware of, and I knew, as soon as that happened, I figured, like, this is going to be a trend. Like, maybe not to the extent I couldn't have imagined this, but then Strasburg did it too. It's really smart because it's a way to have your cake and eat it too. I hate that I use that expression, but it is, because you get to, like, in the Mets case, they didn't want to commit long term, but they get to get the press and the respect and the fan appreciation of keeping Yoenis last year. This is and then still knowing that they'll probably be free from the contract. So
yeah.
Why do you think he chose New York? Because he got to win a World Series and he got that little taste, and he just wants it back?
Well, on as basic of a level as I think it could be.
Florida sucks.
You know, there is, the Yankees have been sort of in a slump, but there is sort of that mystique to playing for the Yankees. I mean, they have won the most titles, and I think that, you know, you look at Chapman and you may not necessarily think that he would be the kind of player who would buy into that, but he apparently loved playing for the Yankees. He loved the fact that he was playing at Yankee Stadium, and he was just hyped to come back. I think his girlfriend, too, had something to do with it. She loved living in New York. You know, any number of those reasons, I think.
What do you mean when you look at him, you don't think he would respect the pinstripes? What is that supposed to mean here, guy?
Because
he has a neck tattoo?
No, I mean, he just...
He's too tall for you? Too left-handed?
Yeah, you look at him in the playoffs and he...
Seemed selfish?
Exactly.
The pinstripes transcend all character defects.
Yeah, respect.
When you see the Bronx and you see Yankee Stadium, there is something magical. You think of the Mick. You think of Don Zimmer getting thrown into the floor by Pedro. You think of... You think of Aaron Boone. That's a good point. It's New York. It's way better. Florida really sucks. I lived there for a year and a half. It's horrible. All right, so we got to move on. But I guess, it 5 years is a long enough deal. If this were like a 2 or 3 year deal, I wouldn't like it because, like, last year I felt like the excitement for the relievers was a little bit silly because I didn't think the Yankees were going to be good. But that's different than the discussion of whether or not they were good moves. Also, this year, just because you may be putting the cart before the horse doesn't mean you don't need the cart, right? It's like just because there's no games to close unless you have the lead doesn't mean you don't need a closer once you get the lead, so to speak.
Yeah, and
you know what I'm saying? Like,
I totally agree. And, you know, I mean, when you look, I think we've talked about this, but when you look at the starting pitching that's available on the market and you look at the Yankees rotation, I mean, what quick fix really is there? I mean, even if they were to package together like Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier, and they got Chris Sale, I mean, that fixes one out of the five spots.
Yeah, yeah. And also, right, you're the Yankees. You just, like, sacrificed enough of a season in a bit to do, like, a quick rebuild on the go. Now you don't want to use those assets that are so exciting. You just want to use your biggest asset, which is money, to build the team. So, I think it's a really good signing. I agree with you. And they got him for less than we thought in the crowdsourcing projected. All right. We got to move on. And also, just last thing, the point you made about people wanting to see him, that he's a draw, that's a really good point. He's got to be worth more than his weight because of how hard he can throw. It's amazing. So Ian Desmond, next on the list. He got a 5-year deal for $70 million from the Rockies, who is not at all a suitor on the list, right? I mean, they came out of nowhere as far as I was aware.
That would have been the last place I would have assumed.
Yeah, because they have Trevor Story at shortstop, who just had a breakout year. And they have Charlie Blackman, who hit like 350. Obviously, it's in Colorado, but he's a great center fielder. He steals bases. He played a good defense.
Carlos Gonzalez in right field.
Right. I don't know where like, today there's no spot for Desmond, so there's no way you would think that they would play him.
I mean, he is, from what I've heard, they're going to pencil him in at first base. And to me, that is just a really bad move.
Yeah, that's retarded. That can't be real.
I mean, he's just too athletic to play first base. So, I mean, I think the obvious thing we're talking about then is which player are they going to trade? It's either Blackman, Carlos Gonzalez, or, you know, maybe even Trevor Story. I would think Story is lower on that list, but
You mean as far as who they would want to trade?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would want to keep him, right?
I mean, Carlos Gonzalez, I was sort of shocked that he wasn't traded at the deadline.
I know, but maybe because of his contract. Who knows? I don't know how much the Rockies were willing to eat of his $20 million or whatever.
Right. So I think Blackman is the natural person that's going to be moved. I mean, the Rockies also have a young prospect who came up named David Dahl, who's really a true center fielder. So it's just kind of like musical chairs. Like, Desmond has to, you know, if they
can't be that stupid to play him at first. There's no way. And there's no way they're going to keep their roster there's no way they're at least intending on keeping their roster as it is.
Yeah, but I refuse to believe they're that stupid.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But this still is a very stupid deal to me in the sense that, like, taking a state of the nation, like, looking at where the Rockies are, this is like we talked about last episode. Like, the Padres thought they were much closer and acted like they were much closer than they were, or the Astros a little bit, or the White Sox last offseason. The Rockies seem to operate like they're pretty close. When they're not, they were in contention for a wild card for a large part of the season last year, and I think they finished 500, but they're not. It's musical chairs. Like, if you get rid of Blackman and add Desmond, all you really did was add a guy for the future, I suppose. It just seems like a weird move given where they're at.
Yeah, I think that their young pitching is only going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, their pitching is exciting.
And I think that they're going to finish at least in the top three in terms of total runs scored.
All right, you've already changed my mind.
But what I'm going to say is, look, this deal, one, there's no rational spot for him there. And I never really liked the idea of signing a player and then trading somebody else.
I was just going to ask you about that. Like, what order would you do that in? Right.
Because,
go on. Yeah.
I mean, you're just, the leverage is then
totally
flipped around.
That's
right?
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Go on.
The other teams know that you need to make these trades. And also, I think it would be a little bit different if, let's say, Dexter Fowler was off the market, Mark Trumbo, anybody else who could play the outfield was off the market, and like Desmond was the last option. So then, okay, yes, then you lock him up because you know you want to trade Charlie Blackmon. But to me, you know, if you still have Dexter Fowler on the market, why not try and trade that player? If Desmond signs somewhere else, then you go after Dexter Fowler. It seems to me like the order was just totally backwards. And like they put themselves literally in the worst negotiating standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blackmon has value, yes.
But they have no room to say, all right, team we're negotiating with, we'll be happy to not do a deal. They have no possibility to do, like last year the Yankees with Andrew Miller had such leverage because they were saying, we'll just keep him if we don't like a deal.
Exactly.
Any of the outfielders they could be trying to trade, or Trevor Story, every other team is like, you're lying. You're not going to be happy to not make a deal. You have to move somebody.
Right, and now the teams that you're naturally going to try and trade Charlie Blackmon to, they still have the option to trade for Dexter Fowler at this point.
Right.
So you're at the mercy of
to sign Dexter
the market.
Fowler. Yeah. You know, that first base like leak probably is coming from them maybe in this ilk, now that I'm thinking
I'm
of
sure
it.
I'm sure it is.
That they could, this is probably their angle they're negotiating with. Like, oh, well, we're just planning to play him at first, but nobody's buying that at Coors Field, you're getting a 250 hitter who's right-handed to play first base.
Yeah, and that's just a dumb thing to put out, because why wouldn't you just put out, oh, we're going to put him in right field and move Carlos Gonzalez to first base?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's a million. This is silly. But you did change my mind on like where they're at, that they are a younger team, you know, with Arenado and Story merging and whatever,
and
their
John
pitching.
Gray is
John
Gray
is
like a great pitcher.
There, I love him, yeah.
Hoffman also is going to be, you know, either their number two or number three. I mean, they're on the upswing, and if you look at the life of this contract, I think you have the possibility of locking up a player at, what is it, $14 million a year. I mean, I think Desmond can contribute at a higher level than that, even at the later years in the deal.
Right, separate from the fit, we both thought that he was worth a lot. And the crowdsourcing article, which was an article where a bunch of baseball writers and fans all predicted the amount that each free agent was going to get, and they gave an average number. And Desmond's, and then Tom and I went through and picked if we thought each one would get more or less. And Desmond's was something like maybe $40 million for like 4 years, and we both said over. And he ended up getting $70 million for 5 years, as we said. But I don't know why they thought it would be so low, because he's a center field shortstop player. I think they were affected by, like, his second half was way worse than his first half last year.
Yep.
And of the last 2 years, the first half of last year was really the only bright spot. Maybe the last month of 2015, you could say. But, you know, of the last two seasons, the first half of 2016 is, like, the last real glimpse of Ian Desmond being as good as he was in 2014.
Yeah, and I think he's another player. I mean, we don't necessarily think of him in this ilk, but I mean, I think he might be the next Ben Zobrist, because we just mentioned, yeah, he could play first base. He can play shortstop. He can probably play second or third, too, when you need to. But yeah, it's more of the order of things to me that just.
Yeah, that was stupid. All right, let's move on. So, Mark Melancon, right?
Yes, sir.
The Giants copped him?
Yep, and I think that's who we predicted he was going to go to.
Yeah, because we theorized that the Giants don't need to pay the extra for a strikeout hard thrower because of their ballpark is the most pitcher-friendly park, or second most behind the Marlins, so they could have a pitcher with a little more break or contact-y stuff. But Melanson's underrated in the scheme of things. How much money did he get, though? I actually don't know.
I believe it was $56 million.
Okay, so that I don't remember the crowdsourcing thing, but I think that's less than they would have guessed, no?
Yeah, I think that the deal he got was about right in line with what we'd expect.
It's appropriate,
which,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we all knew that relief pitching, the value was going to blow up, and that there was definitely the market was much lower than it should have been in previous years. It is just a little bit staggering when you think about someone like him. He, I guess for what, 3 days was the highest paid relief pitcher ever.
Yeah. Oh, you mean on this deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. I think that the Giants were the best fit for him. I think that the Giants of any team needed bullpen help the most.
Wait, you just said that you think the market for relievers is less than it should be?
I'm saying in the previous years, like, it seemed that reliever salaries, especially at the hot, like,
oh, you mean they're only now, they're now adjusting right to where they should be at.
Exactly.
Right, okay, yes. I'd agree with that. I mean, and I think everyone's rightfully so influenced by the postseason and the amazing performances by relievers. And the Giants, it was like they're beyond any team in baseball besides like the entire Mets. The Giants bullpen was the biggest Achilles heel.
Correct.
So
he seems to just organizationally, like, he just seems to be a fit. I mean, he's a very low key guy.
The stupid lucky Giants, anybody's a fit because like they're like the Cardinals. Like, they could call up or trade for anybody and they'll do well. Because they have that grit franchise voodoo stuff. Sorry, what? He's a chill guy. He's liberal. He smokes pot.
Well, I don't know about the last two things, but I mean, yeah, he's a very low key guy. You know, like we were saying, I mean, you can't really say someone like Chapman would even be a better reliever for the Giants because, like we said, the ballpark is an asset to that team themselves. That's how they've sort of, you know, constructed their teams.
Right.
They always want pitchers who can pitch to weaker contact.
Like, they can get away with that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no reason. They just save themselves $30 million.
Exactly. I think Melanson may be even a better fit for them than, say, like, Jansen or Chapman would be. I think that that was a move the Giants had to make. I think it'll definitely help them. And
so, word. Yeah. No, go on, sorry.
No, yeah, and I mean, you're going to see, again, it's going to be the same old thing in the NL West. It's going to be the Dodgers and the Giants, and I'm pretty sure it's going to come down to whichever team can kind of make that acquisition at the deadline to put them over the top.
You heard it here first. Giants trade for Brian McCann when Buster Posey dies. So there's a big trade, actually, was Jorge Soler for Wade Davis.
Yeah, this is interesting for a number of reasons. One of the things that kind of stuck out to me is when you look at MLB trades, this used to be so much more common, but nowadays, you know, it's almost always one team is rebuilding, the other team is on the way up, and so they want the proven MLB talent. And
I didn't say Wade Davis, a reliever on the Royals, for Jorge Soler, the outfielder on the Cubs, just
correct,
for anyone who doesn't know.
And so in this case, you know, you've got two players who have had major league experience. Wade Davis has 1 year left on his deal. When he was healthy, he was the best reliever in the game, if not, say, the second or third. So for the Cubs, that's a great get. They don't have to contend in that free agent market for relievers. Soler is interesting. He was on the Cubs. He has sort of that Yasiel Puig talent, but they just really didn't have space for him.
And he was underperforming a little bit.
Yeah, and a lot of that could be just because he wasn't getting the consistent at-bats that he probably deserved.
Right.
Injury had something to do with it. The fact that he couldn't hit a breaking ball probably had something to do with it, too. It's a win-win for both
teams. Yeah, it is.
I think it's more of a win for the Cubs. I think with the Royals, it's interesting because this is where being a small market team can really sort of cripple them because their identity was that bullpen and it really sort of bolstered that, you know, mediocre starting pitching they had. And so for the Royals, they really can't pass up 4 to 5 years of, you know, control of what could potentially be a great outfielder.
Right, or even a good outfielder. Like, that's how handicapped they are, small market.
Right.
But they have to go for something like this, not even taking a long shot, just taking a mediocre player.
Yeah, and they knew that if Wade Davis had a decent year, I mean, there's no way that they would have been able to re-sign him because they have Hosmer coming up. They have
So Wade Davis only has 1 year left on his deal.
Right. And so, I mean, it's just naturally a good move for both. But I think that this is the kind of move that is going to really hurt the Royals because they're bullpen. So now their closer is going to be, what's his name?
Kelvin Herrera?
Yeah, Kelvin Herrera.
I'm surprised that they didn't go for, like you said, usually this is like the Clinton Portis, Champ Bailey trade in the NFL. It's like two good players who are playing now. Obviously, one is more prospecty than the other. And where the franchises are, it's funny. But the Royals probably, yeah, this is out of them having a bad season and them out of realizing that they need longer term production. But I would have rather gone for like some prospect, right? They could have gotten, even though it's only 1 year, like I would rather take a flyer on two guys than get Soler, really. But they could be looking at it like, okay, we need a guy in the field now who's like more MLB ready. And this is what they were talking about like a couple months ago. I was reading articles and it's true that the trend has been going recently in these like prospect deals that more teams rebuilding are looking for players that have played a little bit versus it used to be guys who are even further out that for whatever reason now teams with the extra wild card was the reason though is that they're more in purgatory spots where they're closer to being contenders. So therefore, instead of just like doing a full-on Astros or Cubs like tank and get and trade for really distant long shot prospects, that they can do a semi rebuild like the Padres or White Sox or Yankees are trying to do, or the Royals in this case after a bad season. The other thing is, you're right, their identity has been, you know, their bullpen totally, and there are two World Series appearances and one World Series win. And because they're a small market, that dynasty is over. That team is they're done. They were outperforming their analytics anyway last couple of years, but
yeah, no, it's sort of that false narrative. I think, like you're saying, with that extra wild card spot, I mean, you're always kind of in it. When you look at that division too, it's hard for them to say that they're totally out of it. I mean, Detroit is a mess. I mean, I think Detroit has the most talent, but they were trying to rebuild and they just haven't made any moves. Chicago's obviously thrown up the
Detroit's
white flag.
Detroit's another example of the purgatory teams like that are just think they don't need to rebuild. And the Orioles.
Yeah, and you think about Detroit. They went into this offseason and they literally said that they were trying to sell off pieces. They haven't made any moves, and now they could be a team that goes and, oh, well, we might as well add Dexter Fowler.
Right. They're like, let's go for it instead of not. That's the same spot the Orioles were in last year. Like do we go for it or not? You know, like we're pretty good, whatever. All right, so let's talk about the guys who haven't signed or haven't moved yet and maybe, like, what these deals that we did go over means for them. So the biggest name, right, is Edwin still hasn't signed, the awesome DH from the Blue Jays. People thought that he might be going to the Yankees or Red Sox, right? And they both signed guys. The Red Sox signed Mitch Moreland and the Yankees signed Matt Holliday.
Yep.
But he could be there to play like the Beltran, like the Aaron Judge relief or Greg Bird relief at first and right or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But he'll probably be a DH. That's probably out the Yankees. So, yeah. Go ahead.
No, this becomes one of those things again too, where it has to do more with the market sizes, because I think the best actual fit for Encarnacion and the team that needs him the most is the Cleveland Indians.
Why, my dude Santana? No.
Well, you can play him at first base.
Yeah, I guess so. Mike Napoli mostly.
But he's
DH'd.
Gone.
No, I know. I'm saying yeah. Last year it was mostly Napoli DHing and Santana at first. You're right.
So I think the Indians are the best fit. I don't see the Indians ponying up $20 million a year. But this is interesting. I mean, you almost have to think that, like, the market for Edwin has sort of dried up a little
bit.
Yeah,
this is this looks bad for him that it's taken this long, and especially given those deals I just mentioned.
Absolutely. I mean, there's still a part of me that thinks that the Red Sox are gonna get him.
And yeah, they
could. I know that's gonna involve other moves, but you know, I think it's down to either Toronto, Boston, or Cleveland.
This definitely feels like it could be also become like a Yoenis type of thing where he does a 3-year with a 1-year opt out, right?
Absolutely.
Because the market is just not what everyone expected, including him and his agent probably. So that just occurred to me as I said it, like, but that would make a lot of sense for a team like Cleveland. Like that's the way to get in to make $15 million for a year is if you do that opt out deal with a small market team like Cleveland or even the Royals, you know, losing Kendrys, but they don't have the money. You know, so the Yankees, obviously, I just referenced signed Matt Holliday, but Billy Butler didn't work out.
No, and I you know,
fatty.
That was
now that was just like a stab, right?
Yeah, because look how deep they were in their first base depth chart. I mean, Greg Bird was out for the year. Teixeira was just dealing with all these injuries. Rob Refsnyder was at first base for a while. He got injured, but wasn't really a first baseman anyway.
Right.
They had McCann there for a little while. So, I mean, they just added him. I mean, Billy Butler was purely like, we're going to add a switch hitting bat and
yeah,
maybe he can get hot and
I'm
we
trolling.
Can win a couple games.
Yeah. Yeah. He's useless.
But
that's mean. I Billy, I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I genuinely just felt bad as I said that about him. He's useless.
Yeah. I mean
all right. So wait, let's go on. But the last thing on Edwin, go, you have the last word.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to end up taking one of those one-year opt-out deals. I think he's almost going to have to.
And where would you guess he goes? Astros?
Cleveland.
I'll say the Astros.
They just signed Beltran.
Oh, yeah. So I'll say the Beltran is there to replace what's his name in right field. That awesome young guy.
George Springer.
George Springer is done. He's old. He's washed up. They need to do a fire sale, Houston. So anyway, all right. So or Texas now.
The Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers are a good fit. So Kenley Jansen and Jose Bautista both are still left. Who's the other team with enough money to sign Kenley Jansen? The Dodgers?
Well, so apparently it's coming down to the Dodgers and the Marlins.
The Marlins make me want to throw up. Like it's like every couple years they just like spend all their money and then cut everybody.
Yeah, and I, you know,
literally,
the Dodgers need him. That's the thing.
But the Dodgers can just let the Marlins sign him and then halfway into this season trade for him and then have the Marlins pay half of his salary.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Dodgers really do need him because their bullpen was being pieced together. I mean, they had to have their starters come out of the bullpen in the playoffs to even make it through 9 innings. I mean, if they lose Jansen, I think that is just a bad look for that team. And I think now Wade Davis being off the board, I mean, who could they even trade for as a reliever?
Yeah.
So I think he's going to end up with the Dodgers. I think that this whole sort of Marlins rumor, I mean, I think his agent's just driving up the price. And now that he's the last reliever on the board out of any of them, I think they're just trying to make the Dodgers pony up as much as they can.
Well, but yes, but if the Marlins actually did offer Aroldis that Chapman that much money, as you said, that shocks me. So maybe the offer's legitimate, right? But Kenley has no intention of living in the worst state in the U.S. and just wants to re-sign with the Dodgers. Yeah, and that's such a big factor, like staying home. Like, so okay, so the Dodgers will keep him. How about Bautista? He's screwed.
Yeah,
he's like this year's Ian Desmond, who turned down a big extension when he could have had it, had a bad year, and now it looks like he cost himself a lot of money.
Yeah, and you know,
he has big ears.
Look, he's a great hitter. He doesn't add much in terms of fielding.
Yeah, his arm is okay, but he can.
I just don't think there's going to be much of a market for him either, and I think he's going to end up having to take a one-year deal, as crazy as that sounds. I mean,
that is insane to think.
I think
I would give him 2 years if I were a GM. Like,
I think he's going to end up back in Toronto. I mean,
it's funny that they wanted to really, like, change their team, and two of their biggest pieces are still, like, on the market. Like, you would have thought that these guys would sign pretty quickly. I don't know. I guess Jose Bautista is seen as like maybe not yet a Beltran, but if you sign him to a 4-year deal, then he turns into a DH, right? / Beltran, like sometimes outfielder. So they're essentially two DH-y guys that the Blue Jays got rid of. But you and I both thought, more so in Edwin's case, but that the hitting was so good that it doesn't matter that he's not versatile, that he'll get a lot of money. I don't know. I mean, they both surprised me.
Well, this is interesting. So, I mean, the Orioles were in play for Bautista, apparently.
Stupid Orioles.
But the word was that...
What's the word?
You know, the whole thing with Adam Jones and Jose Bautista, they dislike each other.
What? I don't know this.
I mean, they always were kind of getting back at each other. They played every time they were playing. There was, like, the bench blow-ups. They, you know, were fighting.
Oh,
they
really?
They kept talking crap to each other in the media. And so, apparently, like, the Orioles were interested, but they're not going to be in the market for Bautista because they think that their fans just dislike him so much. Which is preposterous to me because
are they retards?
Once he's in the uniform, they're gonna like him.
That can't. That's just an excuse. The Orioles are monkeys. If that's really a reason, monkeys. The Yankees signed Johnny Damon, like you know, who just beat you. Like there's no. That is so stupid. Any player who switches teams will become loved. Any player.
Yeah.
That's retarded. If the Jets got Tom Brady tomorrow, we would love him.
Yeah, and I mean
the Vikings would fought anybody. That's so stupid.
Yankees got Kevin Youkilis.
And it's not even that's such a funny, like, random player to hate just because their center fielder has a little bad blood. So anyway, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he takes also a 1-year deal with an opt out. But I don't even think a team would give him a deal like that, I guess. Like I guess at this point it's probably like what, 2 years, $25 million?
Yeah, he definitely overplayed his hand. I mean, if he would have been a little bit more flexible, like last offseason.
Yeah, they offered him like an $80 million extension, I think, or something more. He said he wanted like 125, he said, or something.
I think it was even bigger than that. And he wanted money that he had earned from previous seasons.
His reasoning was, I've been exploited on my contract. I've made more money for this franchise than I'm getting paid.
Right.
It's like, yeah, yes, but that's not what this contract is.
So he's going to end up back in Toronto because, I mean, he is really, like, he's the superstar of Toronto. The fans, they love him there. I mean, he sells tickets there. I find it hard to believe that he won't be back as a Blue Jay next year, especially losing Edwin.
Right.
I mean, then you're really crippling your offense, even though you signed Steve Pierce.
But there's all these reports that they're going to sign Dexter Fowler, right?
It's possible. I mean... Kevin
they could
Pillar
do both.
Is a pretty good center fielder.
But so, what is the theory when all these reports that they're interested in Dexter? I guess the plan would be to trade Kevin Pillar. I don't know to play him in right field. I guess I hadn't thought about it.
I guess so. It could also just be a negotiating ploy, you know, with Bautista and Edwin. That okay, well, we don't really need you. We have this other guy we could sign.
Dude, that's so weird. I wonder how much you get screwed, like if you have to exchange money a lot. Like, say you have you get paid in Toronto, and then you have a home in New York, like in the off season. Every time you transfer currencies, you're getting paying a giant vig on the exchange rate, right?
Yeah, I think with the better banks, if you have that much money, usually they'll.
They don't take
like
a vig?
They'll hook you up a little bit on the exchange rate.
But they're still taking what? How much? Like at least like a third of a percent or something?
Yeah.
That sucks. You know what sucks worse? Florida, and that's why Chapman's back. All right, so we're done. And any other things we didn't get to? Any other free agents?
No, I mean, I think the best value deal was the Wilson Ramos signing.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention that. What's his deal?
2 years, $12 million, second ACL surgery.
To who?
To Tampa Bay.
That's crazy.
I mean,
he cost himself $50 million, $30 million with his ACL injury.
I mean, even if he only comes back after one full season, I mean, if he puts up anywhere close to what he did this year with the Nationals for any short amount of time, they're going to be able to trade him for
absolutely
prospects that amount to, I would say, 3 to 4 times as much in value as what they just gave up of $6 million a season.
I'm shocked that somebody like the Mets didn't do that. Or like, you know, if that's all it costs, I'm really surprised like a bigger market team wouldn't pay him that. Because like you said, the upside is so great, especially at that position, like, you know, especially like given how good he was. And even if he only returns to his 2015 and 14 self, he's super valuable. But I don't know the details. Not all ACLs are built equally, guys. Not everyone's Adrian Peterson. I was looking at Wilson Ramos on Twitter, and he posts a lot of photos of himself lifting. It's really weird. It's like all these motivationals,
like
trying
James
to recover.
Harrison.
Yeah, like James Harrison, but he's trying to be positive. And I'm like, dude, every day he has to look at his knee and be like, I hate you. You cost me $30 million, you stupid knee. Bad knee.
Bad knee.
All right, anyone else?
No, I mean, there was also that deal, Cardinals signed Brett Cecil. I think that was about a week or two back. And I mean, to me, that was a little bit crazy. The average annual value of what they gave him, I think that was like,
what was it?
I think it was something like $13 million a year.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, he was the second best lefty starting pitcher, and I thought he was potentially going to be one of the bargains of the market. But
they could have just kept Jaime Garcia. So that's what I was going to say. That's the other interesting thing real quick, is that the Braves have the old man rotation of Bartolo, R.A. Dickey, and now they got Jaime.
Yeah.
So maybe they're doing like the small market version of the Cubs like a couple years ago when they signed John Lester, where it's like, all right, we got all these young good prospects about to be good. Now let's buy some pitching. But they're like, oh, we're Atlanta. You know, we'll develop them on our own. Let's just get some fat old guys for now.
Yeah, they're just trying to bridge the gap.
Right. So. But those are good. Bartolo is the professional bridge gapper, and R.A. Dickey.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to pitch for...
He's an amateur bridge gapper. But yeah, dude, that's the other thing. Teach your kid to knuckleball. No, that's stupid. Teach him to be 6'6 lefty and throw 100.
And three.
And or if your kid is not athletic, you got to do what I wanted to do, and I never followed through. Now it's too late. But I believe that if I kicked a football every day off of like the little kickoff thing, I could have been good enough to be in the NFL as a kicker. But obviously, I wanted to drink and play video games and do other things. So I never became an NFL kicker. My dream was also to be a kicker/journalist and like secretly record players as if they wouldn't know who like released the videos, like a one-on-one conversation. All right, so that's it. That's it for this episode.
Bye-bye.
Yo! Subscribe, please. It's a podcast app. It's already on your iPhone. It's magenta. It's like blue. It's already on your phone. If it's lost, it's just because you put it in another folder and you're stupid and you're like a grandma. You don't know how to use an iPhone. Ask Siri. She'll tell you how to get it, and then hit subscribe, please. Or leave a review if you didn't like it and tell us you didn't like it. Tell us you guys suck. Why'd I just waste that time? Blah, 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 blah. Bye.
I hire people. They do a website. It costs me $3.
Catfigure.com.